Well, it's interesting. Get on here. Just kidding.
Hi, family. My name is Alex. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Alex. We love you, Alex. Lots and lots and lots.
I can dig it. All right, so my sobriety date is October 20th of 2010. For that, I'm extremely grateful. It's pretty sweet, actually. I mean, I never thought something like that was possible for a guy like me. And it's kind of funny because as I was reading through like the program, I noticed that my name was attached to this topic, tragedy and sobriety or something along those lines. And I was scratching my head like, I don't think that's the one that I signed up for. And I started thinking about it, like trying to come up with some seemingly tragic thing that has happened to me in my sobriety. And I'm like a very mild-mannered individual, right? And regardless of anything that's happened, I'm just kind of like, you know what? It's not that bad because, like, I'm the kind of person, like, I am an alcoholic of the hopeless sobriety. Like, I end up homeless and I shoot toilet water. You know, I'm that kind of guy. So it's I actually came up with two experiences that I have to share with you guys. And I'm coming from this perspective where the first one that I'm going to share with you is from a place where I was not connected within the fellowship of AA. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to and the way it felt and what it looked like. And then also experiencing what I could call a tragedy, like when I am doing the things that I'm supposed to. And the first one I'll share with you guys, this happened when I was between like 2 and 3 years sober. And I was in this point where my ass had more or less completely fallen off, right? I'm like 2 years sober. I'm like, I got this thing figured out. Like, I know what to do, how to like stay sober, right? And basically my life looked like I worked a lot and I worked in recovery and like that was good enough, like carrying the message, so on and so forth. Anybody else ever done that before? Okay, so I'm not going to meetings. Like, I don't have an active sponsor. I'm not working my steps. I'm not sponsoring guys. I'm not doing H&I and I'm batshit crazy and miserable, right? So what happened was I come from a family of non-alcoholics, and I used to live in a part of town where directly across the street, that's where, like, all the clubs in this part of town are. And again, my sister is a non-alcoholic of drinking age, and anybody who knows me knows that I am an extremely heavy sleeper, but I snap awake one morning at probably 7 o'clock, which is an ungodly hour of the morning for myself because my sister's in my living room bawling her eyes out, right? And what had happened was she was out drinking with her friends normally, again, because she's a non-alcoholic, like she's allowed to do, and somebody had slipped her a roofie, and she woke up in a home that wasn't hers with a guy who had proceeded to take advantage of her. And for me, like my relationship with members of my family, my sister in particular, like she's my best friend, and we have been for a really long time. And again, coming from a place where I'm not connected, like, in sobriety to, like, see my sister, like, upset and hurt, like, I was furious. Like, I was furious to the point where I didn't have words to express, like, how mad I was. And regardless of the fact that I'm a convicted felon, like, one of my roommates kept a gun in the house. And I wasn't telling anybody that my intention was, as soon as somebody's not looking, I'm going to go get that gun and I'm going to go kill this guy. Now, from the point I was at, like, I was perfectly capable of committing murder at that point, you know, completely disconnected. I didn't tell anybody what was going on in my head. And like, thank God for like this program. I lived with a couple guys, or I lived with one of my roommates was in sobriety and the gun was in his room. And I walked outside to see where he was, thinking if I could like sneak up to his place, sneak up to his bedroom, find his gun. And I was just going to walk out the door. I wasn't going to say anything. And I was going to kill this man. Right. So I walk outside and he's on the phone with the cops and they're on their way. You know, and it was just like one of those things that removed that opportunity for me. But again, like I knew I couldn't do it like in that moment. So I spent like probably a couple weeks at this point, like plotting a way of getting away with murder, you know, to this guy who had harmed a member of my family who I cared deeply about. Now, fortunately enough, like I had obtained a sponsor at this point, you know, like I wasn't telling them what was going on. It was like the standard check and stuff like, oh, I'm fine. I'm great. Like life's perfect right now. Right. And finally, I had gotten to the point where like this anger and like this deep seated resentment, like absolute hatred was like eating me alive. Right. And it was more or less just like one of these, like I saw my sponsor and I was doing a big book study and she's like, whoa, this happened. And she's like, why have you been telling me like you're okay? Like this is like one of those like really big things. Like, you know, you can call me, like it's what I'm here for. Like, speak to me. And like one of the things that she's instilled in me in this journey through the steps is this idea that I find God in the space between me and you. When I'm sitting there, like, you hear the old cliche, like, we're only as sick as our secrets, right? And by not telling people, by not doing the things that I learned how to do, like, from early on in recovery, by not allowing people the opportunity to help me, much like I am willing to help them at any given moment, like, I'm robbing them of an opportunity. I'm not creating enough room between me and another individual to allow God the opportunity to work, right? So fortunately enough, like, I was able to, like, stay sober through this, and, you know, like, it worked itself out, and I ended up doing, placing this man, like, on an inventory and solidifying that concept that we learned in the fourth step, that I begin to view people in this world who are sick just like me, and just because their sickness doesn't manifest the same way that it manifests for myself, you know, through drugs and alcohol, doesn't mean that this individual isn't sick. You know, I'm like, after a period of time of, like, working through this again, taking that inventory, I was, like, able to view this man from, like, a position of love where I've seen him because he lived in the complex that I used to live in, you know, and it wasn't, like, that immediate, like, I'm going to follow you home and, like, beat your head in with a bat kind of feeling. It was just kind of like, I'm sorry, man, like, that sucks, you know, that's the kind of position he's in. Like I said, that's kind of where I was, like, in a disconnected kind of place, and, you know, like, I ended up, like, going through my steps with my current sponsor, like, having the home groups and the service commitments and the sponsees. And earlier this year, like, I had one of those, like, weeks that you absolutely dread in sobriety, right? And this week for me looks like this. Is on Wednesday, me and the girls split ways. On Thursday, I get in a car accident. On Friday, I work at, like, 5:30 in the morning. And on Friday, like, my mom calls me from back east, right? At about 6 o'clock in the morning, so I know it's serious because she never calls me that early, and she's bawling her eyes out. My uncle had just passed away. Okay, and, like, work sends me home, and they short me, like, 20 hours, like, on my paychecks. Like, I have a lot of things that are going on, like, simultaneously, trying to contact family members to make sure that they're doing all right, you know. And a big difference this time around is, like, I was connected, and, like, people knew what was going on with me, and it was a much better experience this time around, you know, like, where I had gotten so used to just, like, the same, like, routine, like, the same amount of consistency, where even though, like, my head couldn't process, like, what I was supposed to do next, my feet brought me to where I needed to be, okay? And it was a cool experience because it opened my eyes to this fact that, you know, like, my uncle, who lived in town when most of my family, like, lives on the East Coast, like, I hadn't seen him in the time that I've been sober. And, like I said, this happened earlier this year where I'm, like, 3 years sober, and, like, in talking to, like, my mom and stuff, who was, like, obviously upset. Like, I checked in with her every day for a week. Hey, are you okay? Like, checked in with my aunt and stuff like that. And she's like, you know, like, he'd always ask about you. You know, like, always ask to make sure if you're doing all right, because most every member of my family knows that, like, I'm an alcoholic and I'm in recovery, and they know where I come from. And it kind of almost made me a little bit sad, because I've been so caught up in my life at this point where I didn't take into account, like, hey, like, there's other people who care about me, right? Like, being caught up in, like, oh, I have a job and, like, things are going well, and, like, I'm happy. I'd, like, almost neglected, like, this aspect of my life, right? Or, like, I have the opportunity to have a relationship with my family members today, you know, and I'd almost neglected that opportunity because, again, here I am 3 years sober with a guy who lives in the same town that I live, and never once had he been able to, like, see me sober, to, like, have visual proof that I had, in fact, like, been able to pull my head out of my ass and, like, turn my life around. You know, like, all he got to hear were, like, the stories from my mom and, like, other family members, you know, and it, like, helped me to, like, realize that helped me to realize where my priorities lie, where, like, before I got sober and before I started getting loaded, like, family used to be one of those things that, like, I held in, like, absolute high regard. It was extremely important to me, and I'd almost lost sight of that. So it helped kind of place in my mind, like, hey, like, you could be doing more of this. You can be doing more of this. You know, like I said, like, I was able to, like, walk through that. I took it as an opportunity to be present for my family, you know, and now it's, like, one of those things that, like, I get to have that experience as well. You know, like, regardless of, like, what's happened and where I'm at, like, in my recovery, like, literally, like, my ass could be falling off and the world could be falling apart. around me, but like I absolutely like know what to do today. I know where my solution lies, where again, like these things, like whether or not you've had instances like that, like worse or not as bad, like the solution is still the exact same. You know, like I still find my solution in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I still find my solution in the suggestions that were given to me from day one in recovery. It's like, go to meetings, talk to your sponsor, carry the message. You know, it's something that I try to do like on a consistent basis, and I'm able to maintain a consistent amount of freedom of just like, I'm going to be all right. You know, like, and I'm able to face life successfully and able to walk through those situations with a certain amount of grace today, where when it used to be like, fuck it, I'm getting loaded, right? Like, it's a great excuse for me to like go take care of me, to go be selfish, you know, and that's not what it's about today. Like I said, a member of my family died, and it was an opportunity for me to be like, hey, are you okay? Are you all right? This isn't about me. Like, this is about being there for like somebody else, whether or not it's in the confines of the fellowship, like family members out in the world at large. Like, I just get to be present today. And for me, like, that is an absolutely like beautiful experience that I wouldn't trade for anything. And it's a direct result of working the program outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And with that, I'll pass.